This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Haas, former communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He also served as spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget. Larry's specialty is communications, and this week President Obama will be trying to communicate with more energy than ever to the American people why he believes they need to get behind universal health care reform. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Greg.
There seems to be polling numbers suggesting that support for the president's version of health care reform is slipping. There's even one survey out showing more Americans now against it. Basically, the issues are the cost and the idea potentially of a government-run option that could make things bureaucratic and end up rationing care. Let's take them one at a time about the cost of this. We've seen a whole lot of different estimates here, from something a little bit lower than a trillion all the way up to close to $3 trillion, depending on how you figure all this. How are Democrats planning to pay for this? We have different ideas out there. What seems to be the most palatable way to do this?
I don't know that anything has really come center stage in terms of a consensus proposal. Healthcare is really showing the great diversity of opinion, or to put it less politely, the great rifts among Democrats on Capitol Hill. House Democrats far more liberal than Senate Democrats. They are far more inclined to impose a surcharge on the wealthy or cut down on other kinds of benefits or deductions enjoyed by the wealthy to finance health care. I think Senate Democrats would be more inclined to do something that's a little bit broader based, a little bit more down the income scale. But frankly, no one is in the mood to raise taxes for almost anything these days. Healthcare certainly is going to cost at least $1 trillion over 10 years. And I must say that while I'd love to be able to tell you where this is going, I really don't think that there is an emerging consensus right now over this very key question of how they're going to pay for it.
Does that suggest Obama's not going to get his pre-summer recess deadline of a version of this bill on his desk?
Oh, I think that's highly unlikely at this point. I think that there's a growing recognition in the White House and on the Hill that while they continue to make progress, we are really talking about something that is going to go into the fall, if not early winter, before the president gets it.
So you still believe it'll happen. What will be the way this comes together, in your opinion? Because as you mentioned, Americans don't like deficits. They don't like tax increases. One of them's going to have to happen here, right?
Well, if done correctly, and the president is really insisting on this, at a minimum, Congress is going to need to find a way to cover the costs. And when I say at a minimum, the White House seems to be signaling lately that while it wants this health care reform fully paid for, in addition, it wants incentives in this plan so that we begin to address the long-term rise in health care costs and do what they're calling in the trade bending the curve. That is, in essence, softening this long-term increase in healthcare costs, because that's really the key to our long-term deficit problem. So yes, we're either going to raise taxes to fully pay for healthcare, or we're going to have higher deficits. And the president said he's not going to accept higher deficits. So if we're going to have healthcare, and I think the odds are about 50-50 right now, but if we're going to have healthcare, we are going to get higher taxes one way or the other.
Larry, as you know, there are concerns, especially coming from the right, about this package. They say putting a public option into this plan will basically create another situation like we saw in Medicare, where there was a government option, and eventually that option pretty much ran out all the private competition, and now that program is obviously running hugely in the red. How do you avoid that as you try to extend coverage to an additional 47 million Americans, in addition to those who might prefer this plan to what they have now?
What exactly the shape of this public option is going to be is not clear. Exactly how much it's going to be tied to the government is not clear. There are different options where you could have it related to the government. The government would set standards, but it would be largely kind of a third-party entity. And they haven't made those decisions yet either. But I don't think it's the case that just because there's going to be a public option, that means we're going to see the end of private health care. At the end of the day, this country has been providing health care largely through an employer-based system. I think that's going to continue. A public option would provide some level of competition with these private options, but I think that the idea that the public option is going to squeeze out private health care is really overblown.
The president has said, and you have said, Larry, just a moment ago, that in order to get our long-term deficits under control, we have to address the cost of health care. How will our long-term costs be lower with more people being covered?
Well, it's only the first step. I mean, the fact is that you do need to cover everybody to get our long-term costs covered, because at the end of the day, it is more cost-effective to have your average person with health care go to the doctor and make sure that they're okay, rather than at some point down the road, having skipped the doctor visit because they don't have health care, winding up in the emergency room with something far more serious. So universal coverage actually is an important element in terms of eventually getting the long-term cost down. But it's not the only thing that we need to do. We need to do other things. We need to create far more efficiencies in the system. However, I have to tell you that based on everything that I've read, there is no silver bullet here. There is no consensus over exactly what it is we need to do. And I suspect that after providing universal coverage, we will be doing a lot of experimenting with a lot of different incentives to try to find the way that finally bends the curve and brings long-term costs under control.
Some people worry bringing costs under control will mean either denial of treatment or delay of treatment. They point to the Canadian or British systems. Is that going to happen on some level if, in fact, this goes through?
I don't know about delay of coverage, but in terms of making decisions, perhaps some very tough decisions as to what our priorities are and exactly who gets what care, yes, I think that there could be an element of that in there. Now, I don't think it's going to be anything akin to rationing of care, but is it the case that we may need to decide that spending 50 to 75% of our health care dollar on people in the last 6 months of their lives may not be as rational as we can do? Maybe we should be spending more on children in their early stages of life, preventing problems before they occur. Yeah, we're going to have to come to grips with some of these very tough issues.
And Larry, how does the president pitch this? As I mentioned before, the momentum seems to be moving in the other direction. So how does he convince Americans that this approach and the parameters we've discussed is not only a good thing, but it's necessary right now?
Well, I will say that if national health care were easy, we'd have it by now. I mean, every president since Harry Truman has tried to create it, and they've come up short. I think Obama probably has a better chance than any of his predecessors. But he's going to have to make the case based on morality and tight-fistedness. That is, it is somewhat of a scandal in this country that we have so many millions of Americans without any health care and having to go to the emergency room when they have a problem. That's number one. But number two, it is simply unaffordable. And I think he's going to have to level with the American people and say that this government needs to do different things to protect us for national security, to handle diplomacy, to provide for education and transportation and housing and all other things. And if we don't get some control over health care costs, healthcare is going to squeeze everything else out and create even larger deficits down the road. So he's got to tell it straight to the American people, and hopefully at this point Americans will get the message and rally behind some version of national healthcare.
Well, we'll see how much the public opinion sways as a result of the president's PR effort. Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Greg.
Larry Haas was communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He was also a spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.